This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending him his greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped, we looked at the hadith about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those individuals who like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those individuals, unfortunately, who don't want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that in gatherings of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that naturally the hearts become inclined towards meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or encouraged and focused. And thus you find that the companions, when they would sit with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would highlight it as if they were visualizing Jannah and seeing or trying to avoid themselves from an-nar, from the punishment. But when they return back to their family members, their children, etc., you find that the worldly affairs would overcome them. And they felt remorseful at times. They felt hypocritical, that we begin to lose that focus when we return home. But the Prophet ﷺ advised them, when Abu Bakr Siddiq with the companion Hanzala radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they went and they complained, or first he complained to Abu Bakr, there is an element of nifaq, hypocrisy inside my heart, that I feel that I'm not so focused when I leave the majlis of the Prophet ﷺ, when I leave the masjid. Abu Bakr said that, wallahi, I feel the same way as well, paraphrasing the statement of the hadith. So both of them go back to the Prophet ﷺ. And then he reminds them that if indeed you carried on that state, that the angel will descend and begin to greet you. وَلَكِنْ حَمْضَلَا سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً. Oh Hamdala, there's a time for you to be emotionally feeling close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a time for you to remember your family members and to take care of them. وَحَتَّى, you find taking care of al-iyal, taking care of one's family members, who are نَوْعٌ مِنَ الْعِبَادَةِ, is also ibadah as well. تَرْبِيَةُ الْأَوْلَادِ, looking after one's children, taking care of one's family, fending for them is also an ibadah. Some of us young Muslims have forgotten this role of taking care of the Muslim community. And thus we find that this advice of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam, there's a time to be focused and a time to be focusing on your family as well. As long as iman doesn't plummet, iman doesn't come down to such a level that we find, because some of us have outbursts of iman, that only for short elements we begin to become focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then those outbursts, they begin to wither away. That even the rituals, the daily practices, hatta salawat fil masajid, becomes difficult for some of us to come to the masjid. Because sometimes we find the right tarbiyah is not given. That only certain elements are given to us, that only moments we begin to focus upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-imanu billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqeen. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hatta al-yaqeen. End of Surah Al-Hijr, the 15th chapter of the Qur'an. حَتَّى الْمَوْتِ إِسْتَمِرْ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. Continue in your ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not yawm, or ba'da heen, or yawm al-jum'ah, on the day of jum'ah, or certain moments that we find. Continuously always finding avenues of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus you find as-salah ila as-salah, wal-jum'atu ila al-jum'ah, wa ramadan ila ramadan. One prayer to another prayer, one jum'ah to another jum'ah, one ramadan to another Ramadan. وَقَدْ نُضِيفْ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. We can increase upon that. One hajj in a person's life. What is the impact, as ulama have explained, in such a hadith that we find? The impact of iman, one prayer leads you to the following prayer. When your iman begins to wither away, begins to weaken, the call is given once again, حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ حَيَّ عَلَى الْفَلَاحِ. Then your iman is revitalized once again, focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the impact of as-salah. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. Inside Surah Al-Ankabut. إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. As-salah takes you away from munkar, from evil, from fawahish.
sexual misconduct, lewdness, promiscuity, wickedness, bad conduct, bad behavior. If your salah doesn't take you away from that, فَهَذَا عَيْبٌ. It's a great mistake of misunderstanding of salah. The impact of salah, it drives the individual away from munkarat, from al-fawahish. That's what a salah does. So when the iman begins to come down, the adhan goes, a call for prayer. The iman is lifted once again, that individual. Wal jum'a ila al-jum'a. One Friday sermon to the following Friday sermon. Al-Rasul alayhi salatu salam, because some people, they find it offensive that the Jummah should be a mild word, a mild reminder for the people. Kalla wa hasha. Yawmul Jummah, al-Rasul alayhi salam used to raise his voice. Anger would come in his voice. His eyes would redden and he'd warn the people, remind them. That's what the sermon is. And the impact of that sermon isn't you walk out the door and you return back to the dunya, what you were doing before. The impact of that sermon all the way to Yawmul Khamis, the following Thursday evening, the following day is Jum'ah once again. Your iman is lifted again with that reminder. Wa Ramadan ila Ramadan. 29 or 30 days of fasting. The impact of that fasting isn't on the first day of Shawwal. Kitab Allah wara'a dhuhurihim ka'annahum la ya'lamun. For the book of Allah behind their back as if they don't know. People, they finish Taraweeh, they finish Ramadan. All of it's thrown behind their backs. Impact of Ramadan all the way until Sha'ban. All the way until Sha'ban. And the beginning of Ramadan, Ramadan enters, your iman is lifted. Wal Hajj. Al istikhraj min hadha al hadith. Al Hajj. Min fawa'id thamarat al Hajj that we find. You return back home, you return back just like the day your mother gave birth to you. Meaning the impact of Hajj in your life. Tughayyir hayatak. It changes the whole visualization of your life. It changes everything, your perception of life. That the impact of just being there with those millions of people. Of seeing the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeing the chanting and the slogan. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. All of that brings what inside your life? Inside your heart and your mind. That it is the end journey. It's the end of your life. It changes everything about you, that focus. But today unfortunately we find it just becomes a one day journey, a few days journey that we find no impact. That people return back once again. That's what a life of the believer is. It's trying to impact themselves. Finding those moments to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find that sometimes we begin to focus upon other individuals, we lose focus upon our own selves. The Quran tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, alaykum anfusakum, la yadurrukum man dhalla idha ihtadaytum. O you who believe, upon you is to rescue your own self. Don't become so overworried about those people who are misguided individuals who lose the path. Even though ulama tafsir mentioned the meaning of this ayah, that person should order the good and forbid the evil. But we take it lughatan, on its face value. Don't become overworried about those people who be misguided. Alaykum anfusakum. Upon you is to worry about your own self. Likewise in Surah Tahrim that we find, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you believe, save your own selves. Save your own selves and your family members from the fire. Her fuel is men and stones. Upon it is stern, harsh angels who are guarding that hellfire. Stern angels. Allah here doesn't mention noble angels, kind angels. The angels placed here are stern and harsh. That's why you find that when the people say to the guardian of Jahannam, let us come out for it. But you find the guardian of Jahannam say, remain inside there, remain there. Don't speak on this day. Don't speak, try to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So thus we find a person needs to focus upon their life, to rescue themselves. That those moments that when a person wants to like to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they focus that throughout their life, they try to devote themselves. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in hadith we find, أَحَبَّ الْعَمَلْ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلَّ. The most beloved action to Allah is small actions, which a person is continuously doing throughout their life. You don't have outbursts of doing something and then forgetting Allah after that. Losing your fundamental practices. It's great shame it is. Abadna hatta ma yusallun. Speak about big affairs. But they're not punctual about their prayers. They think that's something minimal. They think that's not that important. Success of this Muslim ummah tabda bi salatil fajri wa salatil subhi. Success of this Muslim ummah begins with salatul fajr. The companions used to classify anyone who wasn't there a nifaq. Hypocrisy. We can ask ourselves, many things are taking place in Muslim ummah at the moment. How many of us were there in the masjid for Salatul Fajr today? I can ask myself that question. You can ask yourself that question. That's a symbol of success. That's the success of this Muslim Ummah. إِذَا كُنْتَ نَائِمًا Sleeping and wake up whenever you want to wake up. Pray Fajr when you want to pray Fajr. It becomes habitual for you. Then you have the audacity to speak about the Muslim world. How dare you have the audacity to speak about the Muslim world? Speak about your own self. Speak about the hypocrisy within your own self. Before the hypocrisy that without a doubt is Muslim of my suffering at the moment. Because we are all a reflection of that hypocrisy. That's what it is, the ripple effect. من الحكام إلى العوام From the people who govern us, from the general masses that we find. That's why when people previously complained that why are we in such turmoil? When they said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala, why is there so much fitna now at this time? He said, لما كنت أحكم ولما كان يحكم علي When people used to rule over me, they used to rule over people like me. And now we're ruling over people like you. So that's why fitna was minimal at that time. Because the people in authority, the people underneath, all they had a great element of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فأي حال, in this muqaddam, I want to highlight the fact about focusing upon our own souls, rescuing our own souls that we find. And in this zeal, this passion, this hadith, I want to highlight, is sometimes in our passionate feeling of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become judgmental. It's a disease which is rampant amongst our Muslims at the moment, inside, especially in the society that we live in. That when we become over, if we can use the word, overzealous, more practicing than another Muslim. ننظر إلى أخانا بالتقصير, بعين التقصير. We look at another Muslim with deficiency. This is a disease, أيها الإخوة. A disease inside our community that we think we're better than another Muslim. It's a great big disease. Because I'm practicing Islam, then I must be better than another Muslim. You can be better than a Muslim. لا حرج في ذلك. No harm in that. But we need to understand about what does it mean to be better than another Muslim. Not to express that. Not to go beyond the parameters. Only we can safely conclude that a Muslim is better than a non-Muslim. We can safely conclude that person because people have muddled up the affairs. They're very quick to praise non-Muslims, to rank them, and say we don't know whether they'll go to hellfire or not. It is aqeed of Ahl Sunnati wal Jama'ah. Al-kuffar, إذا ماتوا فهم كفار لا شك في كفرهم ومن شك في كفرهم فقد كفر As ulama of Aqaida mentioned Whoever doubts about a non-Muslim says, well, I'm not sure whether this non-Muslim because maybe they might have been a good individual maybe they might go to paradise for the good deeds that they've done Whoever doubts their disbelief commits disbelief themselves هذا أصل That's the essence about a non-Muslim It sounds harsh but that's a fact That's a fact That's what you find when you read أقوال العلماء وبعدهم In the Malikiyah, that يقولون الحرام لغير المسلم يدخل في مساجد الله. This is haram for non-Muslim even to enter to the house of Allah. Because why? It's a precious environment. إن المشركون inside Surah Tawbah, إن المشركون نجسون. Impure inside their aqaid and their belief. The house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belong to Allah. فلا تدعو مع الله أحدا. There's some ulama gone to that view. Don't ever even let them enter into the precincts of the masjid because it's a sanctified area. But that's just to highlight the severity of the affair. Because some of us have muddled up the affairs. We like to praise non-Muslims, say that they're going to go into Jannah. فَأَيِّ أَقِيدَ هَذِهِ What belief is this? What aqidah is this? أَنَّ النَّصَارَى وَالْمَجُوسِ وَالْيَهُودِ وَالْبُوذِيُونِ وَالْهِنْدُوسِ كُلُّهُمْ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ All of them will enter into paradise because they're good individuals. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create the heavens and the earth? Why did Allah send the messengers? Why did Allah send the books? Why did He send all of this? وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ There's only one path to Allah. There's only one path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الدِّينُ الْإِسْلَامِ إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ Inside Surah Al Imran that we find in the beginning. The way of life in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-Islam itlaqan, hatman. مكتوبا عند الله سبحانه وتعالى That's it, لا نقاش Don't become infiltrated with the world around us That there should be some discussion About whether people or good people will go into Jannah لا Jannah is only for للمسلمين For believing individuals submit to Allah سبحانه وتعالى Anybody that has doubt about that Allah will judge that But the شكل الآم In general, that's it وأما المسلم أصل المسلم Essence of a Muslim كل مسلم يدخل الجنة Every Muslim will go to paradise. But when? That's where the difference comes. That's the only difference. When will they eventually get into paradise? That's it. So that's why when a person leaves this dunya, فَلَا حَرَجْ أَن تَرْحَمْ عَلَيْهِ When a Muslim dies, there's no harm in saying may Allah have mercy upon that Muslim, no matter what type of Muslim they were. No matter what type of Muslim they were, there's no harm upon that. Because a person who's died, who's left his dunya, فَشَأْنُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, his affair belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what أول نِعْمَة وَأَوَّلْ نِعْمَة وَآخِرُ نِعْمَة. The first ni'mah and the end ni'mah is what? Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana lihada, wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. Inside Surah Al-A'raf that we find, praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, guide us to what? To Al-Islam. That is the ultimate blessing upon this dunya and inside the akhirah. That's the ultimate, that's we find halawatul iman, ta'mul iman, dhawkul iman, the sweetness of iman. It has no price. When a person finds iman inside their heart, three things a person, when they find it inside their heart, they found the sweetness of iman. Allah and His Messenger are more beloved to you. More beloved to you than anything on the face of this earth. Likewise, that you find that you hate, that you love your brother only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for a dunya affair. Thirdly, وَأَنْ يَكْرَ أَنْ يَعُودَ إِلَى الْكُفْرِ. Person hates to go back to disbelief. Just like they hate to be thrown into the hellfire. That's what halawatul iman is. That a person weeps about their past life, worries about what happened previously inside their life. The person only wants to do what inside their life now? Is please Allah and then His Messenger. Person only wants to share relationship with people who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever finds that feeling inside their heart, that is fa'mul iman, halawatul iman, sweetness of iman. That's what Islam is. Likewise, if I, after this, strange is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then begins to discuss inside Surah Al-A'raf about, because Al-A'raf is about the lofty heights. وَهُنَا discussion, كَلَامْ نَفِيسْ فِئْلِي إِمَامْ شَرْقِيْتِي صَاحِبُ أَدْوَاءِ الْبَيَانِ inside his tafsir. مَنْ هَؤُلَئِي Al-A'raf. وَقَوْلُ الرَّاجِحُ وَالْعِنْدُ إِلْمُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Al-A'raf are those people, you find that السيئات and حسنات are identical, the same. So they've been placed in the middle frame. Neither in Jannah, neither inside hellfire, but eventually going to paradise. Read the discussion inside Surah Al-A'raf about people of paradise, about the people of Jahannam. What will happen to the people of Jahannam when they'll call out? They'll call out to the people of paradise and ask them, give us some food, give us some drink. إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمَا عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Allah has made it haram upon disbelieving individuals. Not even a drop of water will be given to them, no food will be given to them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala firstly talks about praising what is al-Islam, then begins to discuss about people of Jannah and people of Nar. For what intent? That the greatest blessing is one of al-Islam. Likewise, to be praising one worried about Islam, or to be praising Islam, Dawood or Sulaiman alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned about these two prophets that we find. وَقَالَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي فَضَّلَنَا عَلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who conferred His great blessing over many of His believing servants. This is a praise which is allowed. A person praises and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the blessings that Allah has given them, given an individual. The blessings of iman, the blessing of wealth, whatever, because Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam, the wealth that was given to them, the power, the glory that was given to them. But yet you find the most important thing to their lives was what? Sulaiman alayhi salam, hadha min fadli rabbi. This is from the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See whether I'm going to be grateful or ungrateful. Dunya didn't derail them. The world didn't derail them, being in sovereign power. They classify it as a fitna for them to see whether I'm going to be grateful or ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that the other affair of a Muslim towards another Muslim. Because we mentioned that this disease and sickness amongst us are continuously judging other individuals, continuously becoming individuals, applying rulings and destinations for another Muslim. Unfortunately, we have to discuss this on the minbar of the Prophet alayhi salam. It's common practice that all people like to classify another Muslim. That this person, because of this will happen to them. This person done this, person's like this. This person associates with this person, this will happen to them. This is a disease. This is a disease inside a society. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُوا بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Never say, claim sanctity, purity for yourself. Allah knows the person who's pure. Don't think because you know Islam, or you studied Islam, or because you pray, or because you fast, or because you do this, that by default means that now you have now succeeded. That now you have entered into paradise. That's what the Quran warns us. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't claim purity for yourself. Inside Surah An-Nisa, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ يُزَكُّونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ فَتِيلًا. Have you not seen those individuals who try to seek purity for themselves? بَلِ اللَّهُ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah is the one who purifies, who gives that this person is purified. This person will definitely enter into paradise. For مثلاً, we find, speaking about the companions that we find, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. When Allah praised the companions inside Surah Al-Fatih, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He is the one who is pleased with them and forgiven and pardoned them. And then Allah mentioned, فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah knows what exists inside their hearts. These days of Muharram, to go to Salat, تَعْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ الشِّيعَةِ أَرَوَافِدَ الْإِثْنَ عَشَرِيَةِ, that you find, يَسُّبُونَ الصَّحَابَ, they revile and curse the companions. هَذَا مِنْ عَقِيدَتِهِمْ, that's their belief. أَشَّتَمْ وَاللَّعَنْ عَلَى الصَّحَابَ, that's their creed. This is a moment you find there's no peace and tranquility and no rest between such, and no discussion. That's why Imam Malik said, you want to recognize who's Sunni, who's a Sunni and who's a Shi'i. أَهْلُ السُّنَّةَ هَؤُلَاءِ يُحِبُّونَ الصَّحَابَ. The Sunnis are those individuals who don't dress in a certain manner. They are those individuals who praise the companions, who love the companions. And a symbol to find a person Shi'i is always ta'an fi sahaba, always making questions about sahaba, always speaking ill of them, always making statements against them. That's a sign of a person Shi'i. That's why we should stay far away from such type of individuals. In this blessed month of Muharram, we'd like to make ta'wilat, bring all these excuses, bring all interpretations from the Quran Sunnah to reinterpret al-Islam. That's why find ulama have concluded all of the khurafat, all of innovation and bad practices that we find inside the Muslim society, ala ru'usihim ha'ula'i shi'a, at the top of it are the shi'a, that who've infiltrated the Muslim Sunnis to carry out certain practices that we find. Al-Quburiyun, coming to graves and shut, that's what we find inside Tehran, inside city of Iran. La tara ayyi masjid. Inside Tehran, there's no masjid. There's no masjid. There's only qabur. There's only graves and shrines. There's no masjid. Calling out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The deenum is all based upon shrines and relics. That they believe that the a'imma are infallible. Al-ismah lil-a'imma. That the imams can never make mistakes. For them, the a'imma indahum, the imams, are more superior than even the messengers. They're superior than the messengers. You think that it's exaggeration? Read inside. I'm not encouraging you to read their works. At-Tabrisi fi tafsirihi. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, speak about Musa alayhi salam, inna Allah ya'murukum an tadbahu baqarah. Allah has commanded you to sacrifice the eye for the cow. And the meaning is clear. Hatta lughatan is clear, Surah Al-Baqarah, what the discussion is. Wa fi tafasirihim anna al-baqarah hiya a'isha. That a baqarah is Aisha, Allah is commanding you to sacrifice to kill Aisha. This is inside their works. So when people say, why are we so emotional toward her? Why don't we sit and dialogue? What dialogue is there when people write this about our mother, about Ummul Mu'mineen, about Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha? So here we find a person shouldn't hold back and think that we shouldn't pardon and overlook certain statements that they make. Amma a Muslim, min al-awam, that we find that a Muslim should always be worried about what they say about another Muslim that we find. That we find a Salaf. Because these statements are very easy for people to say. Read about a Salaf. You find going back over a Sahaba. You find if I was the last person to go into Jannah, I'd be that person. Ask ourselves that question. Tasawwaru hadha. Akhru shakhs yadkhulu Jannah. If the last person into paradise, it would be me. That's what they would think. If I find the Lord, if I fear that my deeds would not be accepted. Tasa'ada sahaba. These are companions that we fear our deeds are not accepted. And look at the audacity of many of us. How we conduct ourselves upon the face of this earth that we find. And as we find that, I can use the word, this culture that we are living in amongst ourselves, many Muslims. Ana khayrun minhu. I'm better than this other individual. This statement is from who? From Shaytan, from Iblis. When he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. I'm better than because you made me from fire. According to his logic, fire outdoes teen, outdoes mud, clay, dust. I'm more superior. We find this in our society again. You know, Talbis, Iblis, Ibn al-Jawzi wrote a whole risala called Talbis, Iblis, the deception of the devil. The devil works in different ways. Devil doesn't necessarily tell you to come and commit ma'asi, disobedience, but he can tell you can come and say certain words that we're going to talk about another individual. So he deceives people to make certain statements, to say to statement to another Muslim, Ana khayru minhu, I'm better than him, Ana khayru minka, I'm better than you. Because why I'm a better Muslim? Because I carry out such and such actions, by default I must be better than you. And as we find that these bold claims, that so-and-so will not be forgiven, whether it be for their sins, or whether it be for even hatta ulama have documented their deviancy, even if an alim has deviated, then a person shouldn't delve too much into it. Because some ulama have concluded, some ulama may have deviated because of the environment around them. And if you begin to home in upon every single scholar about their deviancy, we will not be left with much history. With many scholars left behind, because many famous ulama have deviated in certain affairs. And we make udhur, we make excuses for them. So likewise for the masses as well of the people, a person should make masses excuses for them. And that's if I make 70 excuses for your brother. Even though it's not a hadith, but it's a famous statement that goes back to some of the companions or some of the salaf that we find. Make 70 excuses for your brother. Always make excuses that maybe this happened, maybe that happened, continuously. And even then, you should still question your own self. And that's this hadith. أن رجلا قال والله لا يغفر الله لفلان. A person came, he made this bold statement and said, Allah will not forgive such and such individual. This hadith Qudsi. A person said that Allah will not forgive such. How many times may Allah forbid this happen on our tongues? In our rage, in our anger, debating with someone, arguing with someone, or a family member, whoever it may be, Allah will not forgive you. You're not going to go to Jannah. What does this hadith state? وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَالَ مَنْ الَّذِي يَتَأَلَّى عَلَيَّ. Who is the one يَتَأَلَّى بِمَعْنَى يَحْلِف. Who is the one who's taking an oath by me? Who has the audacity to take an oath by my name and say that so-and-so individual, أَنْ لَا أَغْفِرَ لِفُلَانٍ, I'm not going to forgive so-and-so. فَإِنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لِفُلَانٍ وَأَحْبَكْتُ عَمَلَكَ. Indeed, I've forgiven so-and-so and I've made your action to become null and void. Who has the audacity to say that? Who has audacity to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say so-and-so individual who is literally not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And thus we find, if we look at other versions of this hadith, just to help us to understand, this is another science in itself. Because many of us, it is a true fact. We just pick up the Quran, we just pick up the hadith, and we begin to freelance interpret it with the society around us. The ayah says this, so it means this upon this person. Hadith says this, it means this and this upon such a person. There's a deep science about understanding nusus wal hukum and making deriving rulings and applications upon people, upon society. It's a very severe affair. It's not just for any individual who's been a Muslim for 1 year, 2 years, who's read a few books, to come along inside society and begin to govern upon people and to say this is what this ayah means. Ulama, just to give us a simple understanding. Person who explains the Quran, إذا ما يعرف النسخ في القرآن فَلَيْسَ لَهُ حَقٌّ أَنْ يَتَقَلَّمْ بِنِسْبَةِ الْقُرْآنِ. Whoever doesn't know an-nasakh, who doesn't know abrogation by ayat inside the Qur'an, which have been abrogated, the signs of abrogation, has no right to speak about tafsir itlaqan. Has no right to speak about the tafsir of the Qur'an, or to speak about verses of the Qur'an. And likewise, you have to understand the whole ulum al-Qur'an, ulum al-hadith, the signs of why certain words that exist, or the reason of their revelation, why certain verses were stated, what they mean was derived from them. If not, what will happen? What we find inside our community. We find rulings and places upon the society that harm people, that make things difficult for people, make it for everybody around them because they don't understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that if we look, another topic in itself, al-bid'ah, innovation. Anybody see somebody doing an innovation? That's it, go around, just saying to everybody, this is a person, is an innovating individual. Read Al-I'tisam of Imam Shatabi, 2 volumes. Many people mention, if you only studied Arabic language, to read just this book, it will suffice you. Al-I'tisam of Imam Shatabi, talking about bid'ah. What is innovation? There are darajat, there are scales of innovation. Not just to see something black and white, and to go rampantly around your society, for everybody around you, this person done this, this person said this, so this person should be classified as this. هَذَا قِلَّةُ الْعِلْمِ. A lack of knowledge, a lack of perception, a lack of fiqh fi deen, of understanding. Because Islam isn't about pushing people away. Islam is about dragging people's hearts and minds, creating love and devotion and commitment. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّ الْغَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you've been stern and harsh to the people, they'll be pushed away. But love and affection, teaching people the sunnah, encouraging them about the sunnah, instilling love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside their hearts, inside their minds, devotion towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam goes a long way than just pushing people away. Just pushing people away, pushing people hatta outside the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith that shows, the reason why we mention it, help us to understand. In a hadith in the Sunnah of Abi Dawood, checked by the late Shaykh Nasruddin Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi, who brings another narration by Abu Huraira, talking about what actually took place, whereby we find that سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَلَمْ يَقُولُ كَانَ رَجُلَانُ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. There are two individuals from Bani Israel. They used to love one another, possibly two brothers or two friends. فَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا يُذْنِبُ وَالْآخِرُ مُجْتَهِدْ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. One of them used to always carry out sins. The other one used to be excessive ibadah, devoting themselves inside worship. Whether they're two brothers or two friends or two beloved individuals, you find two opposites of the spectrum. Person who's worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, person who's away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ لَا يَزَالُ مُجْتَهِدْ يَقُول يَرَى الْآخِرُ عَلَى ذَنْبِي. The one in worship always used to see the other individual always committing sins. So one day in his frustration, يَقُول أَقْسِرْ أَقْسِرْ بِمَعْنَى أَمْسِرْ. You need to restrain yourself. Restrain yourself from this sinning and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَجَدَهُ يَوْمًا عَلَى ذَنْبِ. And one day he found him carrying out a sin. And then he said in his frustration again, أَخْسِرْ. He said, look, I'm sick, remain from this. فَقَالَ لَهُ. This person committing the sin, he said to this individual, خَلِّنِي وَرَبِّي أَبُعِثَّ عَلَيَّ رَقِيبًا. Leave me my Lord alone. Let Allah judge me. Have you been sent one who's to be responsible over me, to watch over me? Obviously he's wrong to make such a statement. But in his frustration, that continuously that you're saying this and that to me, I know that I'm sinning. I know that I'm doing something wrong inside my life. It's not right. Don't you come and say this to me now. So this individual, the first individual who's reminding him, says now in his frustration, he says to this individual, فَقَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَا يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكَ أَوْ يَدْخُلُكَ الْجَنَّةِ. Wallahi, Allah will not forgive you. And He will not enter you into paradise. He goes a step further now, that you will never go to paradise and Allah will never ever forgive you. فَقَبَضَ أَرْوَاحُهُمَا. Allah caused both of these individuals to die. And resurrected, brought them both forward. فَاجْتَمَعْ عِنْدَ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then Allah brought them in front of the Lord of the worlds, the heavens and the earth or whatever exists. فَقَالَ لِهَذَا الْمُجْتَهِدْ كُنْتَ بِعَالِمًا. Said to this striving individual inside ibadah, do you know about me? Do you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَوْ كُنْتَ عَلَى مَا فِي يَدِي قَادِرًا. Do you have control over what exists inside my hands and my power? Do you have the right? Do you have the knowledge to speak about another individual, to place them inside Jahannam? Do you have the right, the power and ability to throw someone into Jannah or throw them inside the hellfire, inside paradise? وَقَالَ الْمُذْنِبْ إِذْهَبْ فَادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ بِرَحْمَتِي. Said to the sinning individual, go and enter into paradise via my mercy. وَقَالَ الْآخَرْ إِذْهَبُوا بِهِ إِلَى النَّارِ. And said, take this individual and take him to the hellfire. Al-Hadith ma sahaw Shaykh Nasruddin Al-Albani rahmatullahi alayhi. Hadith has been authenticated. A severe warning. Two types of individuals at the opposite spectrum. One who, as we began with, in a zeal, in a passion of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we go to the extreme of then governing upon another individual or making a statement upon another individual and it becomes detrimental upon ourselves. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِجَمِيعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تمسك بسنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions after this hadith, means a statement that he mentions. He says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِ بِيَدِي لَتَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةً أَوْبَقَتْ بِمَعْنَى أَهْلَكَتْ. This person said just one word and he has أَوْبَقَتْ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتَهُ. أَهْلَكَتْ is destroyed, this world and the hereafter. Just one word. Saying one word, this person has destroyed everything upon this dunya that person may have done and everything inside the hereafter that we find. And that's ulama collected فَوَائِدُ الْحَدِيثِ. the benefits or the lessons that we can extract from this hadith Qudsi that we find. أولاً that we find, الزجر عمن يتألأ عن الله. A severe warning for the person, يحلف بالله, takes an oath for Allah. Swears by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Goes and makes such bold statements. This in itself is what's classified as أن تقولوا على الله ما لا تعلمون. You speak about Allah that which you don't know. That's what this in essence is, that you're speaking about another person. You're saying something about another individual, you have no knowledge regarding that. Second, we find أن العبرة بحسن الخاتمة وليس بطول العبادة. The lesson is the ending. Not a life of ibadah necessarily. A person going to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 50, 60 years inside their life. It's husnul khatima. That's why a person should always pray to give them a good ending. Not just a life of ibadah, a good ending. That their ending is one of obedience. Because here we find the opposite. Person who spent their whole life worshipping Allah, unfortunately, this was the end result. This is a person who may not be such a good Muslim, but they had a good ending. That maybe the intention was good and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saw that intention and rewarded that individual. وَجُوبْ عَدَمُ النَّظَرْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِ الْمَعَاصِي بِالتَّحْقِيرِ. Don't look at people who sin and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a despising eye. Rather, it should be the eye of shafaqah, rahmah, the eye of mercy and compassion. Even when we are harsh towards the non-Muslims, we don't hate non-Muslims. As ulama have concluded, it's the kufr, it's the disbelief that comes out. That's what a Muslim, because non-Muslims can be beloved. A person's non-Muslim father, mother, brothers, sisters, person can have so much love and affection and devotion towards them. There's no harm in that inside the Sharia. It's only a person draws the line when they begin to advise about Islam. Other than that, they are blood. They are family members. It's a natural love. Imam Fudail al-Iyad talks about anwa' al-hub, types of love. Ahada hubbu al-tabi'i. A person loves their father, loves their mother, loves their brothers and sisters. The only time they draw the line is when it becomes an element of kufr, when they infringe upon the Islamic practices. So then even then a person still doesn't hate them, shouldn't despise them. They hate the kufr, that what they're involved in should feel that in remorsefulness. That's what true success is. That a person is worried about their family members, worried about their loved ones, encourage them to come out of the state of kufr. And likewise, people of ma'asi, when you see Muslim, young Muslims sinning and disobeying Allah, this is a key in itself. We need to understand that as we debate about certain issues amongst ourselves, look at the mass state of the Muslims. Look at the mass state of the awam around us. How many of our Muslim youth that we find, the taking of intoxicants, of drugs, of alcohol, of zina, of fornication, is something general. It's a general practice that we find inside a society. We don't want to tackle this. We don't want to speak about this. We don't want to engage about this. It's unfortunately become a common practice. That's what we find in our society now. I don't want to say this, but just to awaken some of our parents and awaken our minds. Most of our youth come from evil practices than they practice the deen of Allah. Unfortunately, most of them have unfortunately tasted haram things and then eventually come to the deen of Allah, which before was very rare. Before, Muslim youth never knew what haram things were. It was the general way of the life of Muslim, of remembering Allah to a certain degree. And only a few individuals entered to haram. But now we see, because of lack of da'wah, a lack of engagement, a lack of reminding, a lack of focus, we find that the masses of our youth drown inside these evil sins. They drown in these evil sins. It becomes a part and parcel of their life. And we shrug it aside. Or we should obviously be in a sense of anger, which should be, what are we doing about it? But when we meet them, we should enter into their hearts and their minds with love and affection. وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِأَيَّامِ اللَّهِ. Remind them about the days of Allah. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Remind them about meeting Allah. That is the greatest thing. If that penetrates the heart of the individual. This is the final verse inside the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 283. As Imam Suyuti inside his works on Itqan fi Ulum Al-Quran mentioned. The Prophet only lived for 9 days. 9 days after this verse was sent down. And it shows the conclusion of our message of the Quran. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Fear that day whereby you return back to Allah. That's what the whole of Islam is. That's what everything of being existence on this earth is. As we began with, every day is revitalizing your method, your thoughts inside your heart and your mind. It's only another day closer to Allah. It's only another day to meet Allah. It's only another second to meet Allah. That's what should be in the heart of the individual. And that's the person we began, who wants to meet Allah, Allah wants to meet that individual. Whoever doesn't want to meet Allah, Allah doesn't want to meet that individual as well. Likewise, find an-nabi kalima wahida, just by one word, a person destroys this dunya and the hereafter. One word takes an oath, Allah chance will not be forgiven. That's why a person, we find one word, a person would descend 70 seasons down into Jahannam. 70 seasons into Jahannam. You find one occasion, a sound of a boulder, stone was heard. And the companion said, what was this sound? The Prophet said, this was a stone that's been dropping for 70 seasons that finally reached the end of Jahannam. Finally reached, at the time, the Prophet had dropped out how many centuries ago, has now finally touched the bottom pit of Jahannam. So imagine one word, person should be vigilant. مَا يَلْفِذُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ وَعَتِيهِ. Not one word, a person at the sixth, you find the two angels are there. Person destroys this dunya and the hereafter. That's why person رَقِّسَ الْشَرِيعَ. One word. حَتَّى أَمُورُ الدُّنْيَوِيَ أَطَّلَاقُ. One word, just to say a divorce destroys. That's why the most despising thing in front of Allah is a person to leave their wife. That's why a shaitan, Iblis. Shaitan has his throne on the water. And his soldiers, they return every single day. I made this person sin. I made this person do this. He says, you haven't done much. When one comes and says, I made this individual to divorce his wife. He packs him and says, Anta sahibi, Anta sahibi. You're my comrade. You're my friend. Because why? You haven't destroyed an individual. You've destroyed a family. You've destroyed a nation. You've destroyed an ummah. That's why he prays it. That's why we find kalima wahida. One word destroys families, destroys homes, destroys everything. So a Muslim should be vigilant about their life and the words and the statements that they make. And likewise, you find bayan husn tarbiyat Nabi alayhi salam. The way the Prophet taught his people. In this hadith, he speaks about people that existed before. So they don't feel upset. There may be some person amongst ourselves who says it to another individual. He had this way of teaching the people around him to keep them away from sins. When a young man came to him and said to the Prophet, give me permission to commit zina. Give me permission. Imagine a person comes to the Imam today and says, give me permission to commit zina. He says to this individual, do you have a mother? He says, yes, I do. Do you like that someone would commit zina with your mother? He says, no. Do you have in the khala, do you have a maternal aunt? He says, yes. Would you like someone to commit it with zina with her? He says, no. He says, that's how people are. Do you have a paternal aunt? Going through all the family members. He says, obviously we don't like it for them. He said, this is how people are. Then he placed his blessed hand on his chest and said, oh Allah, purify this individual and make him guard his chastity in his private parts. This young individual was never ever seen looking at a strange woman ever again in their life. Husnul tarbiyah, how to deal with the people around, how to teach them, how to remind them about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't fall. Not to backlash at them, to condemn them, to doom them to hell, but provide ways of coming out of their problems, issues that we find. And likewise, in conclusion that we find, as we said, mentioned, Aqidatu Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah, our belief, never destined any individual to paradise unless it's been documented inside the Quran or upon the blessed tongue of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. When he mentioned that Asharatul Mubashara fil Jannah, when he said the 10 individuals inside paradise, whoever he mentioned were going to paradise, then we affirm that. Other than that, we have no right. We don't know about any other individual. And likewise, whatever the Quran confirms, that Fir'aun, wa Haman, wa Abu Lahab, and such individuals are definitely going into Jahannam, then it's not befitting for a person to come along and discuss that. Or when the Quran speaks about disbelieving individuals we began with, that their end result, they're going to end up going into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability, to the best ability to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To be careful and guarding about our tongues, about our lives, about our engagement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rituals, the practices we have to carry out on a daily basis. That these practices become strengthening our iman. They become a focus inside our lives. They're always worrying about meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the day that we meet Him. That with these meager small actions, this small life that we have, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite justice and mercy has multiplied it many times over to become mountains of good deeds out of His mercy and presents that to us on the day of judgment. Not to become individuals, we do mountains of good in this dunya, but we come on the day of judgment and these mountains of goodness have been taken away.
is the muflis, the bankrupt individual. لأن لماذا؟ لأنه شتم هذا وقذف هذا ولعن هذا. He cursed this one. He reviled this one. He abused this one. He took the right of this one. So all the good deeds of that individual are taken away. And the bad deeds of that individual are thrown down upon this individual and goes into Jahannam. May Allah protect us from becoming such type of individual. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا لإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا. ربنا إنك غفور رحيم. ربنا افرغ علينا الصبر وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. قوموا بصلاتكم يرحمكم الله.